I'm very happy really to be with you today, and my prayer is really that God can speak to you through this simple message that I prepare. You know, sometimes we think that God needs to reveal ourself, big revelation, big things, but I'm discovering more and more in my life the importance of coming back to the simple truths that the Bible teaches us. And I don't know, I don't know any one of you, apart, of course, the guys here. But I don't know, if you are in a good moment of your life or in a bad one. You know, sometimes everything is just fine in our lives. Sometimes we go through life and everything seems perfect. We jump from one cloud to another. Everything is fine and we praise God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for everything you give us. That's fine. If you are in one of these moments, just praise God, because sometimes He really allows us in His grace to live in this moment of grace, in this moment of blessing. But it's also true that sometimes our life changes. Sometimes can be a sudden change. Sometimes can happen like one day after another, one step after another. And we find ourselves in the middle of difficult situations. Sometimes we find ourselves, as we were seeing in the item before, in kind of the middle of the storm, you know, can be just decisions to be taken, can be worries, can be fears, can be anxieties, can be a relative that is sick, can be a situation unexpected. And, you know, you see all these things coming around you, and I describe this as the washing machine syndrome. So, I don't know, you feel like in the middle of the washing machine and everything is turning, and you are not really able to stop it. And if you've ever been in one of those moments, I think that you can understand what I mean now. Why am I telling you this? This is where my preaching comes from. My message is what God is giving me in these days. As I shared a bit with you before, before coming here to IBTI, I finished university and I started to work as a pediatric nurse, and I was enjoying my job, even if God already was putting in my heart to serve Him really more than what I was doing. I was serving in church. I was serving also with my fiancé. We were, as I said before, planning to get married and everything. All good things. God started to put in our heart a desire to do something more. It was not easy. It was not easy to renounce to, as Kellyanne was saying, to renounce to our plans for our life, because we already had the timings and everything already scheduled. But we said, okay, God, we want to trust you, we want to follow you. We decided to leave our job, to leave everything, and to come to IBTI. For the first year, we said, okay, God, we give you 1 year of our life, then we come back, we keep on working, and we get married. So we did our first year, and in the end of our first year, God started to put in us another desire to come back for the second year. And our program in IBTI is composed of 2 years, so the 2 year is the fullness of the training, let's say. What was not easy once more to renounce for the second time to our planning, to our thoughts, to our dreams. And we start to pray, but God put us peace in this sense. We said, okay, God, we know that you will open the right doors, and we want to do it once more. So we decide to come back for the second year. Everything is going really well. Everything is fine. But now I am in one of those moments, washing machine moments. Why I tell you this? Because before deciding to come back for the second year, we also decided to take this step of faith to start to plan our wedding for this September that is coming in 4 months, 3 months. And so you can imagine, okay, the end of year is approaching. We are planning our wedding. We really don't know what to do next. We have some possibilities, but things are coming. Every time that we have our plan, new things come on, and we are like, which is your direction, God? And then we had a serious problem at home. One of Davide, my boyfriend's name is Davide, one of his relatives passed away just a few days ago. And so, you know, it's a difficult moment and pressure from many sides. I was like, God, what is happening? I'm not understanding. I cannot even hear your voice here. I cannot understand. I'm I don't know, if you're one of those person like me that in this moment start to think too much, you know, you understand what I mean. I start to think, God, maybe I shall do this, I shall do that. What do you think about this? What do you think? And in the night, I was not sleeping really well. And in IBTI, if you don't sleep well at night, it's the end because you are dead after the end of the day. And I was worrying. I really couldn't find peace. Maybe there are some other people that in... Maybe some of you in this moment start maybe to speak with people, and so you start to speak with someone else to find the right solution, but in the end you see that you cannot find it. Some others are more like they tend to isolate themselves, to stay to close themselves in the house or in their room and start to really to go kind of depression, if I can call it in this way, because you think that there is no solution. What is God telling me in these days? You know, there is only one thing that you can do. There is only one thing that is the solution in all of this. And you know it very well. Which is this thing? It's coming to my feet. Coming at Jesus' feet. And this is where everything comes from. Why am I speaking about coming at Jesus' feet? You know, when you take this position, now I speak about the physical position, when you kneel down in front of someone, you are transmitting some things. You are honoring that person, but you are also submitting yourself to that person. You are trusting that person. You are surrendering. You are in a place of humility in front of that person. And, you know, when we find that this thing happened in our society, in history, usually the defeated army goes at the feet to cry mercy of the army that is winning. So they go at their feet. I mean, now, I don't know. I don't think that this happens anymore. But in history, we read about these things as a sign of surrender. And when this happened, also when in history you find people bowing down in a sign of respect towards their king, why are they doing this? To bring him honor, to tell them that they honor him and they want just to submit their life to him. And the funny thing, now this is nicer than the first two, is done also by the fiancé when he wants to ask to his woman to marry him. Why? I found this the reason why men usually do this. Because in that moment they are submitting the decision to the woman. So they are asking something, but in the end it's the woman that has the decision in that moment. And once more, it's a sign of submission. I'm not teaching here about submission. Man, be submitted to your wife. No, I'm not teaching this. I'm just saying that in that moment, his will is submitted to the will of the woman. So we understand, what does it mean, going at the feet of someone? And I want really quickly to mention with you three examples that we find in the Bible of three different circumstances in which going at the feet of Jesus has been really the best solution. The first one is an episode that we know really well. It's found in Luke 10, from 38 to 42. I will not read it because I think we all know it. I will just quickly mention it to you. The scene is this. So we are in a familiar environment, and Jesus basically is invited to eat at the house of Mary of Bethany and her sister Martha and the brother Lazarus, the one that then will be dead and resurrected, for those who know the story. So Jesus is in this house. Jesus is eating, but we see that people in the house have different reactions in those moments. There is Martha, who is running from one place to another, serving Jesus. And there is Mary, who is sitting at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says, verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Why this is a particular, this is important, this particular? Why? Because it's the first time in which we find Mary in the gospel, and we find her in this position of sitting down at Jesus' feet. What does Jesus say in this moment? Look, Martha, you are worried about many things. Jesus is not condemning Martha. I see more like he's saying here with a smile on his face, come on, Martha, come on. He's not rebuking her. He's saying, come on, Martha, I know you, I know your heart, but come here. This is the only thing that matters now. This is what Mary's doing now, is the only thing that really is important, is the good portion that will not be taken away from you, from her. What can we learn from this passage? The first lesson, let's say, that I want to share with you today is that at the feet of Jesus, we find a place to learn important spiritual truth. And we cannot learn if we pass just in a hurry. You know, Jesus is there. Jesus was in the house, but we, Mary, and we have to choose what to do with his presence in our life. We have to choose it today. We have to choose it every day. Jesus can enter in our life and we just, like Martha, we start to go from one place to another. Yes, we pass next to Jesus, but we go. We cannot really stop listening to what he's saying because we are too distracted from the things that we are doing for him also. I'm not speaking about bad things in this moment. I speak about good things, but we lose something. We need to stop. We need to stop and go at his feet, to sit down, to decide to sit down, once more the importance of the decision, as Kellyanne was saying. We have to decide to sit down and to listen at his teachings. Why? Because this is the first foundation for our life. Without those teachings, we will see Mary again in the Gospels. She would have not have the enough faith to do what she did after. She would not have enough courage to do what she did after, and we will see it. So, really, the first point that I want really you to remember is this. Build every day intimacy with Jesus. Build your relationship with him by going at his feet. This is the only thing that is required from you. You don't need to struggle to do. Yes, of course, there is a part that is required from us to put our own commitment. But Jesus says, come, I want to have a relationship with you today. I don't know if all of you already have this kind of relationship with Jesus or not this morning, but it doesn't matter. You can start today or you can just keep on today as you already did, but do it. And this is what Jesus was telling me. Come to my feet. I want to teach you something more also in this situation. The second episode that I want to mention quickly with you is we find again Mary, this time in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, is the death of Lazarus, so the brother of Mary and Martha. Lazarus is dead. Actually, before he was dead, when he was still sick, Martha and Mary, so the sisters, went to call Jesus. Jesus, please come, heal our brother. We know that you are able. We know that you have power to do it. Please come. But we see that for many reasons, Jesus comes when it's already too late. Lazarus is dead. And Martha, we find her once more running, this time not to serve Jesus, but she runs to him. Please, Jesus, why did you come late? Why? If you were here before, our brother would not have been, would not be dead. Sorry. But now he's dead. Now, what can we do? Martha, do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, I believe that one day we will all resurrect. No, Martha, you don't understand. Okay, let's put aside this scene for one moment. We see again the character of Martha. Let's focus one second again on Mary. What is Mary doing in this moment? I found it really interesting. We read that Mary, in verse 28, she went back. Martha went back and called her sister Mary aside. Where was Mary? So Mary was in the house. Mary was crying for his brother that was dead. Mary didn't have the strength to come out and to go and meet Jesus. Of course, this is not written in the Bible. I'm just thinking what could be her reaction. Why didn't she go with her sister Martha to the feet of Jesus? Probably she was too desperate, too discouraged. I don't know. But which is the key that unlocks the situation once more? In the second moment, Martha comes to her and she said, She says, "The teacher is here," she said to her sister, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered yet the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And this is the important verse. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Do you see the pattern? What does Mary do? The first thing that she does, she falls at his feet. Why? Oh, again, once more, there's not written, but I think that we could easily imagine, which is, imagine the scene. She sees Jesus there. I am Mary. Jesus is there. I am full of really desperation. I am so full of sorrow for the death of my friend, my brother. I see him. I know about Jesus because she already knew Jesus. She had a relationship with him and she knew that he was able to heal his brother. But now it's too late. What do? You just go, you run, and you throw yourself at his feet in a sign of submission, of surrender. Like, I don't know what to do, but Jesus, you are here. I don't know what to do, but Jesus, you are here. Why I find this important? Because sometimes we can, as I mentioned in the beginning, we can have a wrong reaction to our situations of discouragement. As I said before, if you are one of those persons more maybe that like to be alone, you will be like Mary. You will stay in your house and you will not go out to meet with Jesus. But this is not the right reaction. Why? Because we see that when Mary goes at his feet, from that moment, Jesus see her, it's written that then he cries and things happen, and then he will resurrect Lazarus. Why I say this? Because Mary says, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother will not have died." She recognizes his power. She says, "Jesus, I know that you would have been able to heal him." Of course, she's not speaking about resurrection. No one had resurrected yet. Let's be sincere. How many of us would have believed in resurrection like this out of nothing? No. But still, she confesses, "Jesus, I know that you would have been able to heal him. Jesus, I recognize your power. I come at your feet in my moment of desperation, in my moment of confusion, because I know that you are able to do something. I don't know yet what. I cannot even tell you to resurrect him. I don't know even what is resurrection in a certain sense. But I know that you are able." And this is what we can learn today. What am I doing now? Speak about myself in this moment of choices to be taken, decisions, of sorrow also, of confusion. What am I doing? What is Jesus telling me? Come at my feet and recognize that I am able. Come to my feet. Come to that place that you know so well. What does it mean to come at Jesus' feet? It means to surrender. I am surrendering myself in these days. And it's not easy. It's not easy because sometimes we become very attached also to our bad moments. We are attached to our confusion where, in a sense, I don't know if I can explain really well myself, but you don't want to surrender it to Jesus because it's human. We are confused. I am confused. Jesus, I cannot let it go. It's normal. It's our normal reaction. And Jesus tells you, "Come on, give it to me." He says in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But what does it mean this? You have to give him your burden in order to take on his rest. You cannot take his rest while taking your burden. It doesn't work. If you still have your big package on your back, "Please, Jesus, give me rest." I cannot give you rest if you don't give me your burden. You know, it's easy, but how many times we don't do it? How many times I don't do it? And speaking about me now, how many times I go to the feet of Jesus and maybe I start also to cry or to ask him for a solution. "Please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus." And then prayer finishes and I get up, but I still have this this thing that is really pushing me down. Why? Because I didn't give it to Jesus. I didn't leave it at his feet. But this is what Jesus wants us to do in this morning. He doesn't want us to close in our house, to close ourselves in our house. He just wants us to come at his feet. And to conclude, the third example, we can find it in Mark 14, from verse 3 to verse 9. Once more, it's a very well-known passage. It's the passage where Jesus is anointed once more by Mary. I speak about Mary this morning, if you didn't realize it. Yes, I find this character very interesting in the Bible. I think, really, she's a model for us. Not because she was a superwoman, but because she really recognized the importance of giving to Jesus the best place in her life. And so in this last passage that I want to share with you in this morning, we can read from verse 3 that while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. I don't want actually for the moment to go on. In this, in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, there's not actually said that she is Mary, but if you read in the Gospel of John and in Matthew, you can read that this woman that is mentioned here is still Mary of Bethany, the one we were speaking about before. And why I chose this last passage? Because this, for me, is one of the most beautiful examples of what does it mean to worship Jesus. What does it mean, really, to bring him through worship? Let's see the scene once more. I like to be inside the scene because it helps us to realize it better, to understand better what was happening and what we can learn. So Jesus is once more eating at the table. He's in the house. There is Simon that was a healed leper. He's called the leper, but actually Jesus already healed him in that moment. And Jesus is eating. In a certain moment, Mary enters in the house. She has this jar of precious perfume. Just to let you understand, it's estimated that the value of this perfume that she had was about 1 year wage of a normal worker of those times. So imagine, I don't know what is the average wage in England. Maybe you can help me for 1 year. Okay, let's say £25,000. Imagine you have in your little box £25,000, your year's wage. You go at Jesus' feet, you give him £25,000 as a worship. You give him out of your heart. You give him and you know that you will never have them back because you gave them to Jesus. And you demonstrate in this way that you love him. I'm not speaking, of course, about money in this moment, but I want just you to understand the preciousness of that moment. I don't think that Mary was a rich woman. We don't read it in the Bible. For sure, she was not poor if she had this, but I don't think that she was rich. She gave what she had, the best that she had in that moment. And once more, we read that in order to do it, in this gospel, there is written that she poured the perfume on his head. In other gospel, on his feet. Probably she did both of the things. She poured on his head and on his feet. And we see that she goes to Jesus. And for sure, I don't know about the head, but to go until the feet, she has to bow down once more. And to break this alabaster at his feet and to give everything that she brought in that moment to him. Why is important this position to worship Jesus? Because worship cannot come from a place of surrender. Once more, we find this pattern. Why I call this action an action of worship? Because she's surrendering her best for Jesus. She's giving him her best. She's telling him, you can have my best because I want to worship you. I don't care about keeping this alabaster of perfume for myself because I want to give it to you. I want you to have the privilege to be anointed by this oil, not myself. She could have said, this is what I gain with my work, with my hours of work. I could enjoy it for myself. No, Jesus, I want to give it to you. And this, I don't know if you realize it, but it's really a painful, a difficult situation, but it's also a beautiful position. Why it's painful and why it's beautiful? It's painful because you cannot do it without surrendering something. Maybe for her was the alabaster. For us can be surrendering something of ourselves, can be surrendering our plans, can be surrendering our thoughts, our time, our energy, our life. I don't know if you realize it, but we are speaking about something big, surrendering. You don't surrender something to then take it back. You surrender and you leave it at the feet of Jesus. But the good part, which is Jesus knows what we are doing. He knows even the struggle. I don't know if Mary struggled before bringing the alabaster to him. Maybe she thought she was in a bit of doubt before entering the house. I can still come back. I can still pretend that nothing happened and come back in the house and use this perfume for me. But then she chose. Jesus knows this. Jesus knows our struggles to surrender. It's not easy, but he loves us so much. And in the moment in which we surrender everything, he commends us. He says, well done, well done. It will be spoken about you in all the world. You have done a great thing to me. This is what we can learn from Mary. This is what I want to not just to tell you, but also to tell myself in this moment. Really, believe me, it's something that I'm preaching to myself. Don't believe that I am, I don't know who in this moment. Really, is what God is telling me. And this is why I feel that is what God wants to tell us. Because what I discover is that we all need to come at Jesus' feet to learn, to cry in the moment of desperation, but also to worship him. We need to surrender at his feet what we have. And it's not always easy, but there's the good end of the story. Jesus knows what to do with everything that we give him. And Jesus will never leave us. There is written in the Bible, in another, always in the Gospel, that no one who has left house, a job, family, friends, relatives, can be everything, will not receive a 100 times in this life and future glory in heaven. Basically, it's not really this the translation, but it's my translation. Why Jesus tell us this? Because he knows that it's difficult to renounce, but he wants us to give a hope. There's big hope. There's big hope. Why I am telling you this? Because this is what I'm discovering here. These 2 years, I thought I had to renounce too much to come to IBTI. I thought I had to renounce to my plans, to everything I had. But God is blessing us. He's blessing me. He's blessing our future plan. He's blessing our wedding. He's blessing my spiritual life. He's making me discover more and more of who he is. And this is what I want to leave to you today. Yes, you need to surrender. But yes, at his feet you will find everything you need and so much more. Not just what you need, but so much more. I want to ask you now to stand up while we start to reflect about this. Because I don't want that these are just words. Maybe just a sentence touch your heart this morning. Maybe more than one, I don't know. But if something touched your heart, I want just you to take a moment to think about it, to not let it go, to not be like the Martha of the situation that just passes through next to Jesus and then goes, but to be the Mary of the situation that decide in this morning to sit at his feet and to receive to him or to give to him, to receive teachings and to give to him our burden. Why I tell you this? Because Jesus doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. He is the same that we read about in the Bible. Jesus doesn't change. He is here today. And in this moment, he is calling you to come at his feet. He is calling us to come at his feet and to surrender everything and to find deep hope, deep joy, deep satisfaction in His presence. We cannot find this in our own, with our own strength, with our own thoughts, but in Him we can find it. I don't know if this is the first time that you do this kind of action, spiritual action, let's say. I'm not speaking about physically going at your feet, even if you feel like, do it. I don't know if it's the first time or the hundredth time, but there is still this thing that is important. It's going at Jesus' feet. He's willing and just waiting to teach us from that place of intimacy. He's waiting for us all to fall at His feet in the moment of discouragement, so that He can restore us. And finally, He's longing for us to offer our best worship at His feet. So, I think I spoke even too much. Let's just give space now to the Holy Spirit to remind us of His words, not of my words, but of His words, of what is written in the Bible, of what Jesus is telling us today. Because He wants to minister to us. He wants us to experience something more this morning. So let's just go at His feet. Whatever is your situation in this morning, whatever is your need or your burden or your struggle, you know that you cannot find solution in yourself or in other people, but you can find it in Jesus. Let's just go at His feet. Hallelujah, Jesus.